Welcome in here to week number five of Who's Gonna Win on KJAN. We've got, part of the regular crew here with us, Doug Leonard, Matt Mullinex, and myself, Chris Parks. Jim Field will not be with us here today, but we're gonna relay his picks for you, and he might end up with the same ones he sent me. We'll find out by the time we're done with the program. I want to thank Ag Business Associates and Nishna Valley Credit Union for helping us bring you the Who's Going to Win program. We'll take a look back at our picks last week and then get started with our picks for this week. We'll do that in just a moment here on KJN.
The Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic is a community credit union offering you great services. Whether you're looking for a place to save your money or invest in a new home, car, or something else, visit with the staff of the Nishna Valley Credit Union. The Nishna Valley Credit Union is committed to making available financial products and services that will enable you to meet your financial needs and reach your financial goals. And now, if you live in one of 18 Southwest Iowa counties, you are eligible to join. Best of all, the Nishna Valley Credit Union offers the convenience of two full-service locations, Atlantic and Creston.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, from Mag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.
Welcome back to Who's Gonna Win as we start week number five. But first, we need to take a look back at week number four. And, well, we're getting a little bit better. At least it was a little bit better across the board last week. Doug, you're on a roll. 7-1 last week again.
Been doing a lot of studying on this.
Yeah, a lot of education going on there. 6-2 for the rest of us. We are all the same. There actually was only one difference on the sheet for us last week, so we knew there wasn't going to be much shakeup there. But here's how it went with the games we picked. It was Cam winning at East Mills in a very close one, 48-42, the final there. We all had the Cougars, so we were all correct there. Fremont Mills rolled over Sydney, 47-10. We all had the Knights. Nottoway Valley picked up a 28-13 win over Riverside, and Doug was correct on that one. It was not a happy homecoming for the Bulldogs. The rest of us were incorrect on that one. Logan Magnolia eked out a 14-8 win on the road at IKM Manning. We all had that pick correctly. AHSTW 55-0 over ACGC, and we all had the Vikings, so we all got that one right. And we all had Tri-Center as they eked out a win as well over OABCIG. 17-14 was the final there for the Tri-Center Trojans. Also, it was Glenwood holding on late to beat Harlan 49-41 on the road at Merrill Field, and we all had the Rams, so we were all correct there. And then Atlantic went on the road, lost one to Winterset, 24-7 the final there. The Huskies get the win. We all had the Trojans, so we were all incorrect on that one. That's how it went for us last week. So 7-1 for Doug, the rest of us 6-2. Here's how the overall standings look now. Doug has climbed himself into a two-way tie at the top of the pile with Jim. They're both at 22-10, and then Matt right behind him at 21-11, and I'm a couple more games back at 19-13 here on the season so far. So that's a look at how we fared in week number four. Let's see if we can duplicate that here in week number five as we get into our picks. We'll start off by taking a look here at a couple of eight-man games, and the first one is the Sydney Cowboys as they go on the road up to Anita to take on the Cam Cougars in an eight-man District 7 matchup. This one, I think, has become a lot more interesting as the weeks have progressed here along. Doug, you're our top dog, so we'll give you first crack here.
Well, I'll come right out of the gate, and I'll say that I like Cam to win the game. They had a nice victory last week. Thomas Hensley had a whale of a game at quarterback, 5 touchdowns passing and 1 rushing last week. So really had the offense humming against East Mills. You know, Sydney record is 1-3, so not as good a record as Cam, but they've lost to 3 very good teams. Bedford, who's 4-0, EHK Exira, who's 2-2, and Fremont Mills, who's 4-0. So, they're behind in the record, but they've got played some tough teams. So I think Cam will pull this one out, but it'll be a tough game.
All right, that's one for the Cougars. Matt, what do you think?
Yeah, I'll have to agree with Doug on that one. I think
Cougars are going to pull it out top. Is it homecoming over there this week? Is that what we
yes.
said?
Or, yes, okay, it
yeah.
is. Yep.
Yeah, and But then what the one thing I had written down was I think this is going to be a turning point in the season for both the teams. Kind of like what we've said already, Cam may have played a little bit softer schedule than what Sydney has to this point. But with that said, Cam is still putting up about 6.7 yards a play on offense, where Sydney's only at 4.8. So I like what Cam can do offensively, so that's why I'm going to go with the Cougars this week.
All right, that's another one for the Cougars. And, yeah, this I think I kind of feel a little bit fooled here earlier in the season, because that early season game for Sydney against Bedford kind of turned people's heads and thought, hey, maybe they're pretty good. Well, they turned around and got walloped by Exire EHK when we thought that was going to be a competitive game. And they've just kind of, I think, progressively maybe gone downhill a little bit as the season has gone along. And, yeah, Cam's been able to do some things offensively, and it is all predicated on what Thomas Hensley can do. He's kind of, as the wheel turns, he's the guy that's making it happen. And Sydney just hasn't been able to get a lot of offense going, and they seem to like to do things by committee, and it's worked in some cases for them and not so much in others. But I think I do like the home field advantage. I like the homecoming aspect. I think Cam will maybe turn a little bit of heads here by picking up a win in this one at home there in that district. So it's another one for the Cougars. Jim also took the Cougars as well, so it's a clean sweep for Cam here in our first game. In the next game, 8-man District 6 play, it's East Union on the road at Lenox here for what also has turned out to be an interesting matchup. And Matt, we'll give you a first look here at this one.
Okay, yeah, you've got East Union coming in 4-0, undefeated on the season, and Lenox coming in at 3-1 for the year. And, you know, I think this will be another good ball game in here. Again, which direction are these teams going to go at the halfway point of the season? East Union, I think there one of their wins in there, yeah, was a win over East Mills, 26-18. I think East Union has probably had a little bit softer schedule than what Lenox has had so far. I guess, you know, that's one of the things I'm kind of looking at, and that 26-18 victory over East Union probably wasn't quite as impressive as maybe it should be for a 4-0 team at this point. But with that said, I'm going to go with the home team, and I'm going to go with the Lenox Tigers.
All right, so that's one there for Lenox. And, man, looking at this one, this was a really hard one, I think, to figure out. You've got the team that's undefeated, but as you mentioned, they really haven't played some tough competition. And I think for Lenox, it's kind of going the same way. They've played one really good team that they got dominated by in Fremont Mills. But other than that, you know, the competition's maybe been a little bit weak for them so far here. Matthew Witzak has had 304 yards, 7 touchdowns there for East Union. And they've got another guy that's got a good name, Sanders Cheers. That's a pretty cool name. But he's had 5 passing touchdowns and 4 rushing touchdowns. And I think he's going to give his team enough to cheer about. I'm actually going to take the road team here. I'm going to go with the Flyer here on East Union, 1-1 on the road against Lenox. Jim also went with the Lenox Tigers, so he has gone that route. I went with East Union. He goes with Lenox. And Matt, Doug, you get to decide whether or not I'm out on a limb.
Well, I'm going to put you out there, Chris. I am. Lenox, you know what I like about them? They've got a dual-threat quarterback in Dawson Tolberg, 8 touchdowns passing, but then 9 on the ground. So, you know, they can hit you both ways, I think. And I'm going to take Lenox Tigers.
All right, so leaving me out on a limb there with East Union in that one, an 8-man District 6 play. Moving on, we'll get into some 11-man football here coming up. We've got a Class A District 7 game, 1A, a couple of 2As, and a couple of 3As here left on the sheet. We'll get into that 11-man picks here in just a moment after we take a break for this.
The Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic is a community credit union offering you great services. Whether you're looking for a place to save your money or invest in a new home, car, or something else, visit with the staff of the Nishna Valley Credit Union. The Nishna Valley Credit Union is committed to making available financial products and services that will enable you to meet your financial needs and reach your financial goals. And now, if you live in one of 18 Southwest Iowa counties, you are eligible to join. Best of all, the Nishna Valley Credit Union offers the convenience of 2 full service locations, Atlantic and Creston.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, for Mag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.
Welcome back to Who's Gonna Win. We'll continue on now with our picks, and this is a Class A District 7 matchup that we have here for you between Griswold and Nottoway Valley. And I guess I get first look here at this one. Nottoway Valley was able to get that win last week on the road against Riverside, against kind of a game we thought was going to be a close one, and it was close for a lot of that game until Nottoway Valley kind of pulled out at the end. Griswold has had their share of struggles here so far. I think they've played some tougher teams at times. I did like what I saw from them when they played Riverside, and we got to watch that game. And they've got a few pieces, I think, that can get going. And that offense, if they are running it well, is tough to stop because they like to hand the ball off, a couple of times sometimes on each play, which is tough for defenses to keep track of. I think Griswold's got the overall better talent, and I'm going to go with the Tigers here. Jim is going to agree. He's also taking the Griswold Tigers. Doug, what do you think?
And, I'm gonna agree as well. I think Griswold is going on the road, so it's always tough to win on the road. But they've got, that ground game that they seem to be, perfecting this year. Nottoway Valley, they had a similar score when both teams have beat Riverside in a similar fashion. But, boy, otherwise they just have not put up a lot of offense. They lost their first game 35-0, their second game 32-0, and then they only scored 6 points in a 65-6 loss their third game. So they are really struggling to get points on the board, and I think Griswold's going to control the ball on the ground.
All right, so that's a three for the Tigers. Is it a clean sweep, Matt?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and make it a clean sweep there for the Griswold Tigers. Talking about that Riverside game, Griswold rushed the ball for 454 yards. Everything was on the ground that entire game. Nottoway Valley in the season has 471 total yards. So like Doug said, their offense hasn't got to rolling. And they've got that similar game against Riverside, but Griswold definitely put the hammer to Riverside and put up a lot of yards, whereas Nottoway Valley really didn't, but I think just took advantage of situations in short field. So I think on the road for the Griswold Tigers tonight.
All right, clean sweep there for Griswold. Well, we know that'll make Doug happy. He likes undomesticated felines.
Tigers. That's going to always come back.
Tigers. Move on to a Class 1A District 7 contest here. And this one could be fun as well. IKM Manning goes on the road at Missouri Valley. And if we were going around the table correctly here, as we normally do, then Jim would be the first to pick this game. And he is going to take the home team. He's going with the Big Reds. He's taking Missouri Valley at home. Doug, do you agree?
Well, I don't know. That's a good question.
He's going to have to talk himself through this.
I am going to have to talk this one out loud. What do we got?
Here we go.
Is this a two-hour program?
Yeah. Well, Jim's not here, so you can fill some in.
That's true. I've got there's some air that needs to be filled. Mo Valley's sitting at 4-0. They've had a good season so far. Beat Maple Valley Anthonoto, who's 3-1. I think this is a decent team. They can definitely move the ball on the ground behind a running back that they've got. And then you've got the Wolverines, or the Wolves.
Wolves.
Yeah, you've got the Wolves that are sitting at 2-2. But they lost last week in a tough, tight contest to Loma, and then they also lost to South Central Calhoun, who's I think a very good team. So that 2-2 record, I think, is a little bit deceiving. I'm going to take the Wolves on the road. I think it's going to be a tight game, but IKM Manning.
All right, that's one for IKM Manning. Matt, what do you think?
Well, I was hoping he'd take them because they are an undomesticated feline. So, but with that said, IKM Manning, great ball game last week. They were driving within the last 2 minutes against the Loma defense and got down to within inside the 10-yard line before turnover on downs there. So they were right in that ball game with them. They've their other loss, you know, South Central Calhoun, like we said, you know, like they're a 2A school and a very salty 2A school, a very good ball club. So this will be a tough test for IKM Manning on the road, but I think they've got a lot of speed. You're going to get them on a turf field up there at Missouri Valley, so I think they're going to come out on top. But it'll definitely be a good ball game. Missouri Valley's got a lot of momentum going, and their new facilities, they're all excited there. So, but I'm still going to stay with the Wolves.
All right, that's two for IKM Manning, and I am going to leave Jim out there on the limb because I'm taking the Wolves as well. One key for them, obviously, though, is going to be to try to slow down the running back. Nathan Haynes has had a really good season so far for Mo Valley, 796 yards, averaging a little over 8 yards a carry, 11 touchdowns, so a guy they'll have to keep track of. But IKM Manning, they've got some pretty good balance, a couple of guys that have carried for around 300 yards, and you know that they're always just a sound team. They don't make a lot of mistakes, and they play good, solid defense usually. So I'm going to go with IKM Manning here as well. So Jim will be out there on his own. We'll move on here to a Class 2A District 7, and actually a couple of matchups here in a row. But this first one is Shenandoah. They're traveling just up the road a little bit to take on the Red Oak Tigers. Doug, you'll get first look here.
Well, both teams will be looking to pick up their second victory. They're both sitting at 1-3, you know, so the wins have been few and far between. And looking at the stats of both teams, seems like the Mustangs are really struggling on offense. They have not put up a lot of points. Even in their lone victory against Atlantic, they only scored 7. So I think it's been tough for them to get the ball into the end zone. Red Oak seems to be moving the ball fairly well on the ground. They've got a running back, Connor Johnson, who's got approximately 500 yards rushing. It's interesting, too, they've got another running back who's actually got more touchdowns than Johnson, but he's only got 167 yards on 117 carries. So he's averaging less than 2 yards a carry, but he does have 3 touchdowns. So he might be the power back, you know. Put him in on the goal line maybe. So I think Red Oak being at home, I think they're going to get their offense rolling a little bit better, and I'm going to take the Tigers.
All right, so that's one for Red Oak. Matt, what do you think?
Well, this will be a good ball game. Even though on total yards-wise, it looks like Red Oak has far exceeded Shenandoah, but on yards per play, you've got Shenandoah averaging 5.3 yards per offensive play, whereas Red Oak's only at 3.7. So I think Shenandoah's played an awfully tough schedule. You know, they played that Central Calhoun team that we just talked about earlier, so that last week. They've got to, you know, they've played up a little bit. I'm going to go Shenandoah on the road. I think that's, you know, I'm not too hip on Red Oak's defense, I think, looking at some of the scores and what they've given up. So I think that's the part that kind of stands out to me. So I'm going to go with the Mustangs.
All right, so that's one there for Shenandoah. This is one that I sat there and scratched my head about for a while because you look at comparisons and, you know, it's pretty similar. You can draw different conclusions by looking at different games, but I think Red Oak, maybe their most impressive game was being close against Southeast Valley the other day. It was a team that actually played South Central Calhoun a little bit tough, so it's interesting there. But then, you know, you look at Shenandoah's schedule, and yeah, they played nothing but, you know, pretty tough teams. HSCW, Kemper Catholic, you know, it's been a tough run for them so far. And when I did get to watch them play against Atlantic, there are definitely a few players, especially defensively, that stand out on the field. Nick Swanson was a really good linebacker. He's a guy that kind of has a nose for the ball. He's all over the place. And I think they've got some players that they can get going offensively running the ball. It just seems like they always kind of make that one mistake here or there that slows them down. But I think they'll get it going just enough here this week. This is going to be an awfully close game, but I'm also going to take Shenandoah on the road here. What would be an interesting contest. Jim's going to go ahead and break it up because he's taking the Red Oak Tigers as well. So we've got a split down the middle there on that contest. Before we take a break, we'll do another 2A District 7 game here for you. And this is Kemper Catholic going on the road to take on Underwood. And Matt, we'll let you have first look here.
Okay. Well, I don't have too much on this ball game here. I think this one stood out to me. I think this is one that Kemper Catholic, even though it's on the road, I think they're going to go on the road, and I think they'll come out with the victory.
Kemper Catholic with the win. And I hesitated a little bit, but I think Kemper Catholic does have the a little bit more of a bounty of offensive weapons than Underwood does. I've been impressed with Underwood's, what they've been able to do since the season started. They've really played well, I think, since that week one game. And their quarterback, Jared Martin's, I think, started to get into a little bit more of a rhythm as the season's gone along. Isaiah Humphrey's a really good, talented player that can run and catch the ball for Underwood, and that's who Kemper will have to slow down. But you look at them, they've got pretty good passing numbers. Miles Ruepiper is averaging over 7 yards a carry. He's a quick guy that you got to try to slow down. So I think Kemper Catholic will get this one, but could end up being an interesting game for a while here for this one tonight. Jim's also going to take Kemper Catholic, so that's a three for the Knights. Doug, what do you think?
I think Kemper's just got a few more athletes on the field, maybe a little bit more than Underwood. They do have an impressive quarterback. You know, he's got almost 750 yards passing on the year, so definitely can throw the ball around. But I like Kemper's ability to defense that, and I'm going to take the Knights.
All right, it's clean sweep there for Kemper in that one. We have a couple of Class 3A District 7 games left to pick, and we'll do that in just a moment after this.
The Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic is a community credit union offering you great services. Whether you're looking for a place to save your money or invest in a new home, car, or something else, visit with the staff of the Nishna Valley Credit Union. The Nishna Valley Credit Union is committed to making available financial products and services that will enable you to meet your financial needs and reach your financial goals. And now, if you live in one of 18 Southwest Iowa counties, you are eligible to join. Best of all, the Nishna Valley Credit Union offers the convenience of two full-service locations, Atlantic and Creston.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, from Ag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.
Welcome back to Who's Going to Win here on KJN. We head to the final couple of picks here on the sheet and a couple of 3A District 7 matchups. And this one is for a couple of teams at the beginning of the year that you would have told me were both 1-3. We might not have believed each other, but Harlan is coming in at 1-3 on the road at ADM, who's also at 1-3 on the season. I guess I get first crack here at this one. The thing about Harlan is they have been able to put up some offensive numbers. Even though they've lost, they've played some tough teams, they've been able to put some points on the board. They got close last week to pulling another one off. Glenwood did a nice job late of holding them to be able to get the ball back and run the rest of the clock out as Harlan was trying to drive there late to get back into that game. But Darren Schmitz has done a pretty good job. He's already thrown for over 1,000 yards on the season, 8 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. They've got a couple of backs that are quick enough. Nick Foss is over 430 yards, 8 touchdowns. And I think that's the difference here. ADM, you look at their schedule, and I think the games that they've lost have been to pretty tough teams too. But the offensive proficiency has been a little bit less there for them. I do like the way that Sam McCartney's taken care of the ball for them for the most part. He's been pretty efficient when they have thrown it. But I think Harlan's just got a little bit more offense to be able to try to get this one. So I'm going to go with the Cyclones here on the road. I would be hard to imagine seeing Harlan at 1-4 to start the season. So that's the way I'm going to go with this one. Jim's also going to take the Cyclones. So, Doug, what do you think?
That Harlan Glenwood game was the the second most surprising score of football last weekend behind the Iowa Hawkeyes North Dakota State Bison. That was surprising as well. I was impressed with Harlan's ability to stay close with Glenwood. I thought it would not be that close of a ball game. And as you mentioned earlier, Chris, I think that's really due to their ability to throw the ball. Schmitz had 350 yards passing and 4 touchdowns last week. So, you know, they could definitely get the ball down the field. I'm going to take Harlan too. Yeah, I think they're not going to go 1-4 to start the year.
All right, that's three for the Cyclones. Matt.
I'm glad Doug could take care of his free airtime there and get his dig in on the
Hawkeyes. Hey, if the Bison beat Iowa like that, they would have beat Iowa State even worse. Oh, so, yeah. You know, that's just the way it is.
Yeah, I think this game tonight for Harlan, you look at, like you guys already said, their offensive output. Even though they're 1-3, they have the fourth highest offensive output total yards in all of Class 3A in the state. But they're 1-3. Defense has given up a lot more than what the offense has obviously put up on the board. But I think tonight will be a very interesting game for Harlan. I'm going to go with the Harlan Cyclones. But you've got their own two in the district, so you're looking at that third or fourth spot. So how are they going to respond down the road? Think, you know, are the kids going to respond, well, we may be out of the hunt and we're just going to coast the rest of the season, or are they going to continue to fight thinking that somebody else might, get a couple of losses in there as well, you know, whether it be Creston or Carroll, because some of those teams have yet to play each other again. So, that'll be a couple of interesting things. And the other thing, too, is on the defensive side of the ball for Harlan. Yes, they've played some very tough teams these first four ball games, but how's this defense going to turn around? Because there's still five games left this year, and if that defense can't stop some of these offenses that have yet to play, they might get a little momentum for some of these teams, even in the lower half of the district. A turnover here or there can really get the ball rolling for a team. And if the defense can't stop them and offense starts turn the ball over, you know, could go the other direction. So I think it's important for Harlan's defense to maybe get a corner turned here and start not giving up over 40 points a game averaging right now.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it is an interesting point. It's a situation that they're certainly not used to, especially this early in the season, thinking that, hey, we might be in trouble already out of the deal. You know, we might not. Everybody kind of looked at that game last week between Glenwood and Harlan as this could be a win or you're done kind of situation, and it may very well be that case. But, definitely a different scenario from what they're used to, and that's the difference that the change is making this year with just the two teams getting in here from each district. We'll move on to another game here for you in Class 3A District 7, and this is another game that involves a team that now is kind of trying to eye that top spot in the district, with the Creston Orient Maxburg Panthers hosting the Atlantic Trojans, and very tough team, obviously. And Jim would get first pick here. He was going to take Creston here in this one, so he thinks the Panthers are going to get the win at home. Doug, what do you think?
Well, I hope the weather's better than last year down there in Creston. Right.
Oh, man.
I had to sit down there with Mr. Mullenix and keep stats for that ball game. Why did we have to keep stats in the worst weather of the year?
Exactly.
I remember the game last year, I think, besides the weather. I mean, Atlantic was able to, put a few points on the board last year. I mean, Creston is just one of those teams. I mean, they've got a very prolific offense. You know, it's led by Chase Schultz, obviously. He had 8 touchdowns against Harlan, a couple games ago. So, you know, they definitely are capable of scoring a lot. You know, it's a matter of whether Atlantic's going to be able to slow them down a little bit and then get their offense rolling. I think they showed a few things last week at Winterset that were encouraging, you know, throwing the ball around just a little bit more. And, you know, the shorter passes, those quick passes, I think were effective for Atlantic. And, you know, if we can continue to do that and control the ball on the ground a little bit. But I just think the Panthers' offense is tough to slow down, and I'm going to take Creston.
All right, that's a couple there for Creston. Matt, what do you think?
Yeah, they are awfully tough to slow down. Schultz, he's averaging 9.3 yards a carry on the season with 12 touchdowns. He's thrown the ball 5 times, completed 2 passes, and both of them for touchdowns as well. And as a team, you know, they're averaging 47 points a game. So, yeah, offensively, they've been putting up some big numbers. But defensively, on the other side of the ball, they've also have given up some points, a fair amount of points as well. So, how will they respond? Obviously, they've done a lot of their damage on the ground. With Atlantic, like Doug said, there was a little bit better offensive showing last week, maybe not points up on the board, but just getting the ball spread around and throwing the ball. Maybe had that been done a couple weeks before that, by the time, game 2, game 3, these kids are in that mode and it's starting to gel a little bit better, timing and stuff like that. And so I think that's where you'll see some of that improvement this week. Plus, I think, you know, they're probably going to be implementing some more motion with some of those wingbacks and stuff. So kind of get the defense to think a little bit and have to move around on their own. So, but even with that said, Creston is just too much. Where they'll win it is definitely up front. Their offensive line, defensive line is just powerful up front. So I'm going to go with the Panthers.
All right, that's three for Creston, and I'm going to stick with you as well. I think Creston will win this one here. And what's really impressive, I think, about Mr. Schiltz is that everybody knows him. They've known about him for a few years, and here he is still averaging 9 yards a carry. I mean, every defense, their whole entire game plan is to stop this guy, and nobody's stopping him. So obviously that's a big credit to the guys that you're talking about up front that can move some people out of the way because they're doing their job, and they're a really tough team to stop. And they've got a pretty decent quarterback, too, in Kylan Smallwood, a guy that can also run a little bit. So that's tough to slow down. You know, Atlantic, what I saw last week is they got to get the momentum rolling on drives. They get a couple of plays, and then it's a mistake that slows it down. You know, they just can't sustain success, and that's what's going to have to happen for them to compete against in teams like this especially. You know, you get that one drive going, you got to keep it going because you don't know how many opportunities you're going to get throughout the night. But in the run game, obviously, I think has to get a little bit better. There's got to be some creativity there as far as moving some guys around, maybe, you know, some counter-type plays. The straight-ahead run game isn't working so far this year for Atlantic, and they're going to have to figure out something up front to get that going a little bit because, you know, once you do go to the passing attack, then teams are going to start focusing on that, knowing that's what you're going to do. But we'll see if they can make some progress, but it will be a very tough game, and I like the Panthers to come away with a win, and they very likely could be the team at the end of the day that's sitting up top the pile in this district. It'll be a fun ending to watch, I think, in Class 3A District 7. That's going to wrap up our picks here for this week. We will wrap this one up, and we'll get ready for football. We will have that game for you tonight, Atlantic on the road against Creston Orea Maxburg. You can join myself and Mike Smith for the broadcast here tonight. We'll get going with the pregame here shortly, and then kickoff is set for 7:30 tonight there in Creston. For Doug Leonard and Matt Molenix and Jim Field, not with us here today, I'm Chris Parks. Thanks for joining us here for Who's Gonna Win?
The Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic is a community credit union offering you great services. Whether you're looking for a place to save your money or invest in a new home, car, or something else, visit with the staff of the Nishna Valley Credit Union. The Nishna Valley Credit Union is committed to making available financial products and services that will enable you to meet your financial needs and reach your financial goals. And now, if you live in one of 18 Southwest Iowa counties, you are eligible to join. Best of all, the Nishna Valley Credit Union offers the convenience of two full-service locations, Atlantic and Creston.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, from Ag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.